You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is the RTI Press Pass with Trey Wallace.
RTI Audio on this Thursday. Happy to be joined by my guys, Rick Butler, Ryan Shumpert, breaking down Tennessee football. The end of fall camp as Tennessee enters game week mode. We are officially 1 week away from the season opener next Thursday night, 8 o'clock, SEC Network, or you could be in the stands at Neyland Stadium as the Vols take on Bowling Green. Rick Butler, how are you, my friend?
Hello, my friend. I am doing well. It's been a fun month. It's been an exciting month. It's been a long month, I know, for us. So definitely it has been for the players and the coaches. But it seems like there's a lot of excitement in the building. And otherwise, man, it's just good to get back into kind of the fall swing of things. I know that I certainly enjoyed this summer getting back to at least enjoy a little bit more of kind of the outdoors and things like that, and just get to enjoy some more events. So I'm certainly looking forward to that with the fall coming up. Tons of great things on the horizon. So, man, I'm doing good here on a nice Thursday morning.
Ryan, what's up with you, brother?
Not much. Glad to be back on here. And, yeah, you know you're getting close when the practice access, you know, it starts dwindling. And that's how it's been this week for us. And we've had some media access, but the media access has really started dwindling, too, towards the second half of the week. So they're getting close, and that's when they're getting close, you know, it's time to get excited.
They took away the viewing of practice, which, whatever. I mean, they were going straight into schemes this week. It wasn't like previous weeks where they would, you know, do routes on air, stuff like that. So completely understandable by the university, and got a couple players this week. But I want to start off with I want to start offense first with Golish, and then we'll go back to the defensive part. We got to hear from Alex Golish yesterday, and talking about the running back room, what he sees from the tight ends, you know, kind of getting in a little bit about the quarterbacks. Rick, I'm going to start off with you. When you look at what Golish was trying to talk about, and then also, you know, the key thing too, the question was asked, who's going to be calling the plays on the sideline? What were a few takeaways from Golish's press availability that kind of stood out to you, man?
Well, so I will start out with two takeaways that kind of start out a little bit bigger and kind of work their way a little bit smaller, and then we can kind of expand from there. But I got to say, the most interesting thing to me was kind of learning yesterday about Tennessee's game plan and just kind of their routine heading into the end of this week, heading into next week. We know that Tennessee is going to start their season on a Thursday, right? Which is not very traditional. Normally you get a Saturday start, so that shortens the week. Now, a lot of times when you see immediately my mind goes to a Thursday night football in the NFL. We all know the disadvantages that come with Thursday night football because you play on Sunday and then you have to turn around and play on Thursday. Same kind of thing in college football as well. But for Tennessee, not having a game the week before does kind of nullify a little bit of those problems that the shortened week brings up. So Coach Golish was talking about this yesterday and kind of talking about how this was a little bit of a system that Coach Heupel put into place where they're basically running an extra extended game week, right? This is a staff and a team who have never run through a game week together at the University of Tennessee. And so they do not want to go into their first time ever doing that on a shortened week. So for this week, kind of the last week of fall camp, I found it really interesting how they're kind of extending out game week a little bit, running it almost as a mock game week this week, just so they can get everything down under control. And then I do have another thought on the running backs, but I'll go ahead and just open that back up to you guys, see if y'all had any thoughts on kind of just Tennessee's game week routine this week as well, before we dive into some more of the player stuff.
Hey, Ryan, is that when you look at this thing in Tennessee going to start there, they're pretty much, you know, Saturday is going to be their Monday. You know, does it really matter to this point now? We've gotten this far into fall camp because it feels like they're doing all the prep they need to do before they get into that you know, Monday routine on Saturday, which, you know, we'll put them in a hotel Wednesday night and get ready to play on Thursday.
No, I don't think it matters too much. And if anything, I think it's an advantage just because you're – I don't mean to downplay Bowling Green. And Tennessee obviously lost to Georgia State 2 years ago, a team that looked a lot like Bowling Green the year before they played them. But from, you know, everything we can tell, this is a Tennessee team that's lost 30 players and they're still 34-point favorites. So they don't – that's not the game they need to be worried about. You know, obviously that's the game as a team needs to be worried about. But when you look at the schedule in a broad picture, it's that Pitt game week two that's obviously the real big one. So I think – having that extra 2 days in preparing for Pittsburgh and improving from your first game in a completely new system, everyone doing something new for the first time, I think that's going to be more beneficial than it hurts you by any means playing 2 days earlier when you've had all of fall camp to prepare and you're playing a team like Bowling Green. But they've also played things close to the vest, so I'm not sure they really view things that way. I kind of thought we may get Heupel to come out and say who the quarterback was going to be, since, you know, they're playing a Bowling Green week one and instead of a Pitt, a team you may want to keep your cards a little closer to the vest on. But no, overall, I don't think it's some detriment to Tennessee.
Rick, Alex Golas brought up the running backs. Yep. And what he saw out of Tyon and what he saw Jabari. Talked a lot about Tyon growing up, you know, coming from that JUCO ranks, you know, getting the day-to-day lifestyle, Division I football. And then also hit on Jalen Wright, too. Said he's extremely happy. I'm going to get both of y'all's takes on this. First from you, you know, what do you see out of this running back group, you know, as we sit here right now?
So I do want to go back, maybe even at some point if we do have time, and talk a little bit about what Alex Golesh talked about with his – just kind of with his own personal history inside of the JUCO recruiting system. I found that really interesting from him yesterday. But talking about the running backs in specific, man, he really seemed jazzed up about them in that moment. I don't know if they had just had maybe some good workouts leading up in a row, or maybe that just he feels good about that position overall. I think what we're going to see with the running back position, and I've said this a couple of times this offseason so far, is that I do really believe that Tennessee has a lot of the tools of different kinds of very talented running backs and running backs that can very much help this system. It's just that it's split up between a couple of guys, right? It's not necessarily that one all-around back who can do so many things. Tennessee's got a couple of guys who combined do all of those things that a great running back can do. I got to say, though, when he mentioned Jalen Wright, he said this verbatim. He said, Jalen Wright, man, oh, man, really excited about Jalen. He is everything we had hoped he would be. Still a freshman, same sentiment as Miles Campbell. Now we just threw class at him. We threw some distractions around campus at him. He's got to learn and grow, but I think he's got a really, really bright future. I know that you and I were talking about that quote yesterday. Does that still stand out to you today as much as it did yesterday as well?
Yeah, no, it does. And it shows me that, I think Ryan might agree with me on this one. It shows me that they have their 1-2 punch in Jabari and Tyon. But then it shows me, okay, now they had the speed guy with Jalen. And that's why I can see Jalen Wright playing a decent amount. You know, maybe give Jabari Small a break as well. You flip him in there, and he's a speedster. It wouldn't be surprising to see him, you know, involved in the special teams. And Ryan, you know, when you look at this group and kind of what Golas was talking about, now this kind of leaves things open. Okay, what do they do with T. Hodge and D. Beckwith in – kind of pretty much said yesterday they're still trying to figure that out. Ryan, how does Tennessee get D. Beckwith involved in this offense if he is this gifted of an athlete? It's difficult right now, it seems like.
No, it is. And, you know, we went into fall camp. First time we talked about him, you could tell, or we talked to Golesh Heupel, you could tell Small, they felt great about him. It didn't take long to tell they felt really good about Tyon Evans. So it was from there, who could emerge? And I think a big part of being a third running back, obviously you're going to get some normal carries. Jabari Small played in that role last year. But I think it's what can you do different to diversify yourself and earn more snaps? And that's what we're right, I think, really factors in with that speed. It gives a different punch in Tennessee's backfield. And I think things he can do in the pass game are certainly intriguing. And I think that's when you look at D. Beckwith, he's just such an intriguing athlete because, I mean, he's obviously massive. And that off the top makes you think, can this guy factor in short yardage situations? Obviously, I haven't really seen him run a whole lot in any 11-on-11 outside of in a spring game in the open practice back in the spring. But he doesn't seem necessarily have that mold. He has the tight end receiver pass. He's a guy you would think maybe he can factor in the pass game, but it's tough because he's such a blend of player, and he doesn't seem to fit perfect at one position. Obviously, running back, it kind of seemed like he found a home there, but the way Wright's emerged, obviously we know that 1-2 punch seems like it's going to be solid if they can get good blocking on the offensive line, which I think is probably the biggest question in the run game right now, because I think you have to feel good about the running backs. But is the spot that they maybe run them back a little bit at tight end? Obviously, they have very, very little depth there, and a lot of young players after Warren and Fanton, the first two. So he's a really talented guy, but you're right. It's a mystery of where he fits in the path to playing time at running back. Does seem to kind of continue to look harder as more guys progress this fall.
I want to hit on quarterbacks just for a minute, and we're going to switch over to the defensive side. But, you know, Golis and Heupel have both spoken this week. They're not naming the quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks. Golis spent a lot of time talking about clean slate. He didn't have any preconceived notions about who the starting quarterback would be in this situation. And he saw film of Hendon Hooker, you know, same thing with Joe, you know, and then you look at, and he talked about Harrison Bailey, what he saw from the end of the year from him. I Ryan, I'm going to start this part off with you when it comes to the quarterbacks. Right now, are they in a situation, do you think that they're in a situation where they feel like they've got three guys that can really, really run this system? Or do they feel like that, okay, we have to say certain things, but, you know, it's probably going to be Joe and then Hendon. You know, how did you read into Golis and Heupel this week?
Well, from that kind of first question, and complete, I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I do think that Joe Milton's going to be a starter. I feel like he's the number one guy. So, you know, that leads part of it. They just want to play it close to the vest, not have guys transfer. I mean, from what we've seen, and it's been that order. Milton's been the number one, Hooker's been two, and Bailey's three. Well, if Harrison Bailey's, and you tell him he's the third-team quarterback, I'm not sure he's going to be too far behind Brian Maurer walking out the door. And then if he leaves, then you've had three quarterbacks transfer, your three youngest quarterbacks on the roster, I will add, transfer in the last 3 months, going back to when Salter got kicked off the team in June. So I think there's part of that. It may be that, but I do think they have some confidence in all three of those guys, and if they had to roll with all three of those guys, they could. And that kind of made me think about a question we had back in the mailbag last weekend, asking how quick is the trigger going to be on the starting quarterback. And I think all three of us said we don't think it'll be super quick. And I still don't think it will be quick, but I do think they have some confidence in those other guys. And it may not be as far out of the realm of imagination that they could play more than one quarterback this season.
Rick, Golis yesterday, you know, wanting to have a fair shake for these three guys. We all think it's going to be Joe Milton. And talking with people around there, I think the first quarterback takes a snap will be Joe, though I do think that you will probably see Hendon Hooker on Thursday night as well. If it gets bad, you're going to see Harrison Bailey. But as we sit here in this moment right now, what situation comes to mind to you with the quarterbacks and how they've handled them? Do you think they should have gone ahead and announce the starter, or do we look at the situation right now where, you know, they're trying not to piss off as many people as possible to keep the quarterback room steady?
Sure. I think that's a really interesting way to look at it. And I do think there are probably a couple of different routes that is able to be viewed, kind of like you're talking about right there. I think on one hand, man, I think really it's just important for the team to know. Right. And we don't exactly know some of the conversations that are going on behind the curtain with the team. But I think that ultimately is going to be the most important thing that benefits this team going forward. Ultimately, whether the fans or the media knows on August 26th or we find out on September 2nd, like everybody else, you know, that ultimately doesn't affect the outcome of the game that much. But what will is obviously the team. Now, I do think there could be a little bit of strategy potentially going into it, maybe not wanting to tip your hand, although kind of even going back to what Ryan said, it's not like this game is expected to be a close, you know, knock them out, drag them out game. This should be a game where Tennessee should be able to go deep into their depth rotation, play a couple of different quarterbacks, which, let's be honest, is something that they never really had that great of a chance to do in the last couple of seasons. There were games against non-conference opponents where Tennessee was expected to really open the doors, but they were never able to do that. So you never were really able to get kind of that rotation of depth and figure out who you have behind there. So I do think that heading into this game, you know, on September 2nd, I don't think it really matters too much if they announce it publicly, if they don't announce it publicly. I'm more concerned about at least kind of what is going on with the team. I do think it would probably be a little bit more challenging, give a little bit more of a problem maybe if some of these receivers, some of these linemen, some of these running backs did not know who they were necessarily going to get here as they approach game week. So I think it's much more important for the team to know as opposed to the public. But I do think that there is still strategy going on from the coaching staff, whether that is game strategy, whether that is kind of, you know, a little bit of kind of politicking, I guess, and wanting to show each and every quarterback that they still have some kind of opportunity and that they're not just picking one guy at the very beginning and sticking with that no matter what. So I do think that there's a lot of things that are going into play with this. But yeah, I think that the public knowing it is probably towards the bottom of that priority list.
All right, let's take a break. I'll come back on the other side. We're going to talk about the Tennessee defense, how that's going to stack up. Just hit a couple key points as the Vols get into game week mode. Back on the other side.
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
Back here, RTI Audio. Happy to be joined with my guys, Rick and Ryan, today as we break down everything Tennessee as we're getting into the later portion of fall camp, which will end pretty much it's ended. And Tennessee enters game week mode. We are a week away from Bowling Green opening the season in Neyland Stadium. I want to talk about the defense here just for a minute. And Rick, you know, we can kind of start this thing off. And Ryan, how Tim Banks, you thought he handled it this week when talking about the multiple formations and how they're going to run a defense. Before I get to a specific position, Ryan, was there anything that stood out from Banks? I know you're not going to, you know, we don't get the best quotes in the world, and that's okay. You know, he's a football coach. But when you look at what they're trying to run with the multiple formations, would the way that he was talking about the pass rush, is that the biggest thing we take away this week from Tim Banks?
I think that's up there, and I don't think that that's a surprise, but even things that aren't a surprise, you know, these coaches don't necessarily talk about them all that much. And Golish and Heupel especially, I think, overall kind of remained a positive, you know, persona most of fall. And so for Banks to come out and say, you know, that's a question mark. I mean, we knew it was a question mark, but it says something that they're saying it's a question mark. Not only did they just think it, but they're coming out and saying it. So I think that was one of the big things. My biggest takeaway, and again, this wasn't a massive shocker, but he basically came out and said Theo Jackson's their number one at the nickel spot. Obviously, we've seen him work there a lot. It seems like he had kind of started to separate himself, but that's a position Theo Jackson, to my knowledge, has never played. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he ever got any reps there under Pruitt. And that's a position that Tennessee really, really struggled at last year. And I think I said in our mailbag last week that I think that position in the defensive line, Tennessee's defense is going to make a jump from last season to this season with all the guys that they lost. Those are the two spots that I think realistically they could be better at. So I think that's a really important spot. And the fact that he said, hey, Theo Jackson's kind of emerged as a one and we're having a battle for the two now, I thought that was really, really interesting.
And Ryan, even to go along with Ryan's point right there, the exact quote that that Banks did say was, let's see, we feel good about our first one. This is kind of talking about the nickel and the star spots. We feel good about our first one. We have a strong battle for the second, third spot. Theo has done a great job for us all camp, extremely athletic for his size, and does a great job of understanding schematically what we're trying to accomplish. We have a couple of guys who are having a strong camp, and we'll get it all figured out in the next day or so. And I do think that, you know, the question, if I remember correctly, and kind of what was posed to us, was Theo Jackson was not specifically mentioned in the question. So for Tim Banks to, again, if I remember correctly, for him to kind of go out of his way to highlight what Theo Jackson has done in camp, I think to Ryan's point, he is exactly right. I think they are very impressed with what they've seen from him.
Rick, talking about the linebackers here, man, and you look at what they have with Juwan Mitchell, what they're trying to get out of Jeremy Banks, and you've got Solomon Page, you've got Garland backing them up, Aaron Beasley, Aaron Willis. How key is it this year that somebody else has got to step up besides Juwan Mitchell and be able to be that guy and that leader on the football field for this team this season?
Oh, man, it's huge, right? I do not think that it can necessarily be stated how important this position is going to be for Tennessee's defense right here in the middle of the field. And Trey, you just nailed it, right? It cannot be Tennessee's one transfer linebacker to be the only one that's expected, you know, to have a consistent, constant season here coming up in 21. Where are the rest of the guys? I mean, somebody has to step up, and a couple of guys have to step up, have to be able to provide a little bit of depth. And I think that throughout the fall camp, they have shown signs of that. Obviously, Coach Heupel talked about, Tim Banks talked about Juwan Mitchell. He said he's a go-go guy. He goes extremely hard. Well, that's not really news to us, right? I think that's been some of the storylines coming out of camp already. It's just that people have been impressed with Juwan Mitchell from what he's seen. But I'll even go back to Coach Heupel, right? Coach Heupel talked about how, man, the linebacker position truly probably is the most improved unit throughout this season so far. It just kind of, excuse me, not season, but just through the camp so far and what they've done. I do think he's been pretty darn impressed kind of with what they've been able to do, what they've been able to show. Now, granted, how will that translate to the season? I don't know. I still think that this is going to be a position that looks considerably better towards the end of the season, maybe than when they start the season. But regardless, no doubt about it, Coach Heupel said this: the first one would be our linebackers, with who we had the number of bodies or lack of bodies that we had at the position during the course of spring ball. Getting a couple of guys back healthy off of injury helps. And that's another point. Tennessee needs to stay healthy. They got to get a couple of guys back off the injured list, but then get them up to game speed for week one here as quickly as possible. Because again, Juwan Mitchell is going to be a rock solid piece in the middle of the defense, but where's everybody else? Somebody's got to step up. Multiple guys have to step up, provide help for him, and provide a little bit of depth there in the middle of the defense.
Hey, Ryan, before we catch a break, man, I want to ask you, just your 2-minute thought on what Tennessee's getting off edge rushers: Tyler Barron, Byron Young, Roman Harrison. You can name a bunch of guys. Eason, if they want to throw Joseph down in there, that's fine. Edge rushers this year, haven't heard too much about them. We've heard a lot about, Byron Young. Tyler Barron, I think you get what you get with him because you know that he's going to try to be the leader for the football team. Just your thoughts on outside edge rushers.
Yeah, I think Tyler Barron is going to be a really solid player. And it goes back to something I said, I think, in the last podcast. I think his strength is more right now playing to run. I don't think he's some elite edge rusher. And he's a guy that, I think is going to get probably a lot better as the season goes on. I mean, he's just a sophomore. He played last year, but this year it looks like going to be playing the bulk of the reps. So I think there's going to be a lot of room for him to grow, especially in that pass rushing area. And then Byron Young, I think he's a guy that showed it, when we've been able to watch. And I think he's going to probably be, at least at the start of the season, if I had to wager on it, I think he'd be Tennessee's leading sack, or would lead Tennessee in sacks this season. I think especially early in the season, he's probably going to be Tennessee's best pass rusher. But from there, those are two guys that, I don't necessarily think they're going to be knocking on the door of all SEC players. I think those are two guys Tennessee probably feels pretty solid about, and those are definitely SEC-level football players, SEC-level pass rushers. Behind them, I mean, I'm not really sure. Roman Harrison hasn't shown much consistency at all. Obviously, he's had some snaps. Can he – he was a guy that was such a raw athlete coming in, played nose tackle at basically about the same size he is now, probably a little smaller at a small – high school and out in South Georgia. So how much has he grown? I mean, he's a guy that has so much learning, I feel like, with the game of football. And unless he makes a big step, though, I don't think he's a guy that you're going to be relying on too much. And then from there, I mean, you mentioned Morvin Joseph. He's a guy that will probably get some snaps on third downs there, but he's worked more with inside linebackers than he has pass rushers this fall camp. So I think you have two guys that Tennessee probably feels pretty solid about. Now, I don't think they're going to be world beaters. And with Barron especially, I think he's going to get a lot better as the year goes on. But depth there. And, I mean, we can say this about just about any position. But that's not a spot. If Tennessee has an injury, that's not a spot they can afford it to be at, because there's just not a lot of options really behind those main two guys.
Let's catch a break. On the other side, we'll come back. We'll wrap this thing up, talk about the game day experience, just briefly what Tennessee announced this week when it comes into Neyland Stadium for the season opener. It's RTI Audio. Be back on the other side.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
All right, wrapping up today's podcast. Appreciate Rick and Ryan joining us. Tennessee released information on game day experience. The COVID stuff is just show up. There's really nothing to it right now. There's different stuff going on campus when it comes to mask mandates and whatnot, but right now they're not making Tennessee fans show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test, anything along those lines. But we got about 4 or 5 minutes here, boys. Rick, kind of start off your thoughts on everything that they're trying to do, the pomp and circumstance around the football program, because my opinion is you can have all the LED lights in the world you want. You can have smoke, fireworks. It doesn't matter. But if you ain't winning football games, the show, whatever, is what it is, right?
Yeah, but I think also, I mean, hasn't that kind of been the statement of Tennessee football over the last extended amount of years as well? I mean, it's been, for the most part, not a good product with not all this kind of fun stadium stuff as well. I'm very excited about these stadium renovations. I'm excited about Tennessee being able to get into kind of this modern style of football. And I will say, you know, this is coming from somebody who is 25 years old, right? Tennessee, for a lot of my life period, especially as an adult, has not been a great team. So I do think that you add in some of these extra effects, some of these different lighting effects in the stadium, and what are they going to do? The fireworks. And I saw that they were going to put I will give my all for Tennessee. The sign, right? On like the entrance to the, to the grandstand. So fans can hit those on their way in as well. Look, I love all of these ideas. I understand that people just want to win. I understand that. And of course they do. But at the same time, look, Tennessee is doing everything they can on the field. We've been at practices watching them do that. It doesn't make any sense for Tennessee to say, you know what? Well, we have these ideas, but we're not going to do them until we have an 8-4 football team on this field. It's like, that would be dumb, right? The recruits like this kind of stuff. Fans like this kind of stuff. People traveling, that will help their experience. I really think that all of these things are always beneficial, are always good. I know people want winning, but you got to understand that there are two different sides to Tennessee football. There's the on-the-field product, and there is the rest of it. And I think this falls into a high-prioritized item in the rest of it category that I do think this is really cool for Tennessee, and I think this will really add to the game day experience.
Ryan, just your quick thoughts on how this thing plays out, you know, with – because to me, it's great for recruiting. It's great for the fans and whatnot. Any kind of takeaways from what they announced this week?
No, I mean, nothing crazy. Like Rick said, I mean, it's for recruiting. I'm not a huge fan of the LED light stuff, having seen it at a couple other schools. Not like I'm vehemently opposed to it or anything. Just not my cup of tea. But again, it's what the recruits like. It's what's in now. They're going to do that. And I certainly don't blame them for doing it. Excited to see that they're expanding the fireworks. I've always been a fan of the fireworks, and that looks like that's going to be a little more extravagant. But no, I mean, it's the best way to improve the game day experience is to win it. And like Rick's saying, it's not like winning and this are tied together in any way. It's not like, oh, we got to wait until we're winning to implement this. I understand why they did it. You knew they were going to do it when Danny White got here, because that's something that he was known for at Central Florida. I'm glad he didn't, you know, kind of go further with it with some of the stuff they did at Central Florida. So it'll be interesting to see. I think recruits will like it. And at the end of the day, it's fan experience, but at the end of the day, most all this stuff, it's all about what recruits like and what's going to help Josh Heupel and his staff bring in the best players to Tennessee.
That's a great point. Hey, on the way out, I want to get you both. Rick, I'm going to ask you first. Who is the starting quarterback? Is it announced on Monday, or are they going to trot it out there on SEC Network next Thursday night?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question right there. When will it be announced? I don't know. I'll have to think during my answer, but I do think that it's going to be Joe Milton. I think he is going to be the first quarterback out there, just kind of judging on what we've seen at practice, kind of just how they've gone through drills, how they've carried themselves upon what we've been able to see during media availabilities, things along that nature. I do think it's going to be Milton. Now, how long is it going to be? Well, I think that's ultimately up to Tennessee's offense and the defense, right? How quickly can they put this game out of the hands of Bowling Green and allow Tennessee to maybe work in some other guys, put in some different packages, things like that. So I'm going to say Milton, and I will say, oh my goodness. I'm going to go later. Actually, I think that this staff has kept some cards very close to their chest for a while now. I think that they'll continue to extend it a little bit more out as they continue to figure out what they want to do. I just think that, hey, buying themselves a little bit more time. You don't have to tell the public right away. I'll say later in the week, but I'm not confident in that.
Ryan.
I mean, it's just a guessing game. I'll say they announce Monday. I said earlier I thought they might announce it this week. I think it's Bowling Green. I don't think they're going to keep it, you know, some massive secret, but I obviously wouldn't be surprised either way.
I think they announce it Monday during the press conference. I'm not just saying it to say it. I think they announce it Monday. I think they know who their starter is, give them a little confidence going into that Thursday night opener from his teammates and whatnot. So I'm saying they announced it on Thursday. So we'll see how things plays out. We will have you covered for the rest of the week leading up to the game. No more practice, anything like that, availability this week. We'll have you covered next week with Heupel speaking on Monday. Getting closer, 7 days away from Tennessee, lacing it up against Bowling Green. So look forward to all the coverage. You guys will enjoy it. Appreciate Rick. Appreciate Ryan for their help today. This has been RTI Audio. I'm Trey Wallace. We'll see you on the other side.